City, Belinda Post with Sports Radio 810, and we are all about the NFL Draft 2024 tonight. We have your official preview, looking and hearing from college football stars who are hopeful to be drafted. We're going to have a really fun hour catching up with MIZ standout cornerback Ennis Rakestraw Jr., who goes by E, and K-State offensive lineman Cooper Beebe, along with Mizzou offensive tackle Javon Foster. Also joining us, Kansas State head football coach Chris Kleiman and KSU offensive coordinator Connor Riley. They're sharing their favorite memories of the four Wildcats who could have their name called. First up, we are going to start with Mizzou cornerback Ennis Rakestraw Jr., one of the leaders of the Missouri secondary who allowed less than 220 yards per game each of the past two seasons, starting as a freshman. So, Ennis, I'm going to just give you an M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Yeah, I did I did actually something with Nick Bolton the other day, and you would not believe how many fans there are, oh my gosh, in Kansas City, in this area, where it's just M-I-Z-Z-O-U all the way. And taking a look maybe at some of those college memories, where do you feel like you were able to really shine as a cornerback for people, you know, who love Mizzou?
I feel like the way I was able to shine was I was able to play two different positions. So I played corner slash nickel, and I just did everything the team needed me. I had some big plays in corner and nickel, and the passion I was bringing in both of those spots I feel was unmatched. And my teammates would probably call me the firecracker of our defense. So that's how I fit in the program.
Yeah, firecracker of the defense. I saw a really good photo from your win against Vandy last year with one of your teammates. And, you guys had a really good game, a really good stop in the first half there. You know, was that a favorite memory, or what were some of your favorite memories from those days?
That memory right there was probably my most funniest, because I had a dance that I seen on TikTok, and I was like, well, I'm going to do this whenever I make a big play. And I made a big play on third down, a clutch stop in the game. So I decided to dance. And my teammate Jernigan did not know what was going on, but he improvised and made it look like he knew exactly what was going on. And my favorite memory in Missouri was, I had two, and they was both from this year. Mm-hmm. Meavis making a 61-yarder versus K-State was real big for us, because the year before we went down there and we lost, and they were screaming SEC, you know, just taunting us for losing. And we all remembered that feeling. So when Meavis made the kick, it was a great moment, and the fans stormed the field. That was the first time I ever seen that in Missouri. And my second memory was when we beat Tennessee the way we did. Dalen Carnell caught an interception. He worked that play extremely hard all week. Sometimes he got there, sometimes he didn't. During the game, they threw the play at him before, and he didn't get there in time. Got in halftime, I told him, like, it's going to happen, bro. Just trust it. I got you over the top. When you see it, break on it. He broke on it. He scored a touchdown. So that was my two big memories.
Yeah, that was huge. I remember the K-State one. I actually did my undergrad at K-State. sometimes those things are tough to watch, but I went back to a game and they also taught me a dance move. Some of the younger kids who were there watching. And, that's something that I think in the Midwest is really important. You know, people are watching you as a cornerback or as a Mizzou football player and then making it to the next level. And that, you know, is very powerful. I mean, what is that kind of like right now, seeing your name in the headlines?
It's kind of surreal. I'm not a person where I look at things like that, but when I see my name, it's like, wow, from all the sacrifice and all the struggles that I had and all the adversity that I had between my whole lifestyle, my whole life, is kind of a crazy moment when you just sit back and just debrief about everything. So it's a surreal moment. I'm grateful for it. I've known that my whole life I was told that it's less than 1% of guys who even get to that level or even get drafted. So I'm happy to be one of the 1.0001%ers. So I'm very grateful for that moment.
Yeah. And what has this experience been like, obviously, from maybe the combine to pro day to talking with teams?
When I was at the combine, I had the luxury to talk to like 20 teams, and it's all different environments. You know, some of them make you go and shoot a basketball when you walk in. One make you throw a dart. One taught me how to putt, you know. It just, a lot of different things in every different room, but I just stayed true to myself. I feel like a lot of the teams like me because that the way I answer my questions, the way I present myself like a businessman. Combine, I mean, Pro Day was the same exact way. You know, I got a chance to touch bases with people that I've already seen at the Combine. So it's like my second time seeing them, and I'm the same person that they're same people. So that was a great experience.
Yeah. I know, you know, notably like Chiefs, Texans, Cardinals, there are a lot of teams out there that either potentially need a cornerback or, you know, have space for it. Where do you feel like you might be a good fit, or maybe some places you've had good conversations?
I don't mind being a Chief. You know, I've been an MIZ guy. I came here, had a legacy in Missouri. It'll be crazy. It'll be another thing to add to my great story in the university, the state of Missouri. So if I was to get picked by a Chief, I think I'll be legendary in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, I'm in Texas, Houston was a great fit. You know, like people like the Eagles, Lions, I feel like those guys need a corner or looking at potentially getting a corner. But at this point in my process, I'm just going with the flow, take it day by day. You never know what happened on draft day. So I'm eager.
Eager, that's a great word to describe. You said businessman, dynamite, or firecracker of the defensive side. I mean, those are all really good things that I think any, you know, team management is looking for. When you take a look at maybe some of the gameplay you have either run with Mizzou or what you've seen on the NFL, do you feel like any teams would be a good fit for kind of your defensive style?
I feel like the people that reached out to me, like Chiefs, for example, they'd be a good fit. Lions would be a good fit. Eagles, Houston. It's a lot of teams. The ones I know at the top of my head where I've really been like looking at myself. Obviously, by default, I looked at KC, you know, we call him a Cheese because, you know, the sneeze situation, and I'm a guy from Missouri, so it's like well played at Missouri, so it'll be one of those add to my story type things. So I will be extremely grateful to play for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they take their drafting very seriously and they have a big to do, so to speak, at Arrowhead, or at least they have in the past. You know, when you do kind of look at those next steps, you know, where will you be watching the draft and who's going to kind of be in your corner there?
I'll be watching the draft from home. It'll be my family, you know, get everybody in the room and everybody who helped me get to this point, because it takes more than one person to help. Especially on the journey that I was, it took more than my mom, to my grandparents, and, you know, some of my close childhood friends. So I want them all to be there to enjoy the special moment with me and have a little fun.
Yeah. So down in Texas, you also have some teammates who either combined or maybe have been going through the same process. You know, can you speak to what you loved about some of those teammates and where, you know, they could fit into the NFL or what they could do in the future?
I'll go my roommate, Jalen Carlisle, because that's who I spend most of my time with. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that I know what type of person he's going to bring to an organization. You know, a lot of people praise me right now in the draft process, and his name kind of goes unnoticed. But to be honest, he was the guy who always kept me striving for greatness, or I knew he counted on me to be the person I am today. So I made sure I put forth effort, took extra rep, gave extra effort for a guy like him. You can have a guy like him and go to war with him any and every game, because, you know, he'll give it his all. He's really underrated. Another guy, I go Chris Abraham-Drain, because he was in my corner room as well. So we was like yin and yang. That's what people called us. Fire and ice.
Why are you guys yin and yang?
Yin and yang, you know, like yin and yang is like we a pair. Like when you see me, you see Chris, or on a, like in a game, I'm on the right side, he on the left side. It's yin and yang. Like we both go make plays, and the team know that they we got two good corners. And fire and ice, I'll say fire. I'm probably the most vocal. And KD, the more cool, swift, consistent guy. So that's a good fire and ice situation. But a guy like him, he's a great ball hawk. Chris Abraham-Drain do a lot of special things that goes unnoticed. You know, in my opinion, he had the best year out of me and him. He had a lot of interceptions, a lot of pass breakups a year. He almost was in the top five in both categories. So he's a real special player. that I feel like in his process, he went unnoticed a little bit, but he gonna shock a lot of people on draft day and get drafted higher than people think.
You know, can you speak to any of the training or the play that you guys were doing at Mizzou that has helped to prepare you for this point?
We was more focused on the little details and getting better every day. Well, what I've noticed, how we carry ourselves, especially in our corner room, is we're not perfect. So even a good play that we made in a game, if you turn on the tape or you turn on the film, it's something we could have did better. So we always just strive to be better every single day. And the office pick who made plays, we just got to stay doing our job, stay focused, and don't fall asleep on the back end. And when the plays come to you and the opportunity to present itself, do what you always been coached to do.
Well, that sounds, you know, like you guys are very prepared, and we want to wish you all the best of luck, of course, for the draft. Maybe one final question. Did you have any traditions either watching the draft when you're younger or when you're in school?
I'll say when I was in school, when I got to college, because I had like my roommates like JC, Jalen Carlisle, Johnny Walker, guys like, and Tyler Jones, those were my roommates. So when the draft came on, we all, especially day one, because, you know, everybody loved to see the first round guys. We used to go in the living room and watch it. And then I would say last year was kind of the most, like, funny one for us. Or, like, wow, it's like it really could happen next year. Because last year I played a bunch of the first round guys in high school. Or we played them in college and we seen them a lot. So it was kind of like, we're up next. So that's why we took this year extremely serious, and we put ourselves in a position where it's actually not a cliche anymore. We actually up next.
That was Ennis Rakestra Jr., who says he goes by E. The corner nickelback out of Mizzou, predicted to go in the second round, says he would not mind being a Chief. Well, how about that? We'll be back talking with O-lineman Cooper Beebe on his growth, his greatest Wildcat game day memories, and he's also predicted to go in the second round. Welcome back to Sports Radio 810. I'm Belinda Post. We're taking a look and a preview at the 2024 NFL Draft, focusing on local talent. Kansas State's Cooper Beebe, offensive lineman from Piper, Kansas originally. He could be getting ready for his second NFL season had he not bypassed the draft last year, but instead he came back. Beebe, a Big 12 first-team all-conference selection for the third straight year and a repeat pick by league coaches as offensive lineman of the year. Also, from a three-star recruit going into Kansas State to a consensus first-team All-American. He's played four different positions at K-State. So, Cooper, is there anything you can't do?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. No, yeah, it's crazy just to kind of look back at, you know, my career, like you said, coming from a three-star, especially out of the state of Kansas. I don't think, you know, kids from Kansas kind of get the hype like other states do, but just to see, you know, how my career kind of ended up, it's definitely special, and I'm very blessed for sure.
And Coach Riley told me something, because you were drafted on the defensive side, and then at a certain point it's maybe your jersey number is a little bit different and hey, okay, we're gonna be doing the O-line. I mean, what was that like? Was that shocking, or were you just ready to buy in?
Yeah, so like you said, I got recruited to K-State to play defensive tackle, and it was kind of funny. So me and my dad were headed to the locker room because they told me I was gonna be number 98. We get to, you know, my locker and it says 50 on the nameplate, and I kind of looked at my dad and was like, yeah, I don't think, you know, I'm gonna be playing defensive line here. And then I had a meeting, you know, with Coach Riley right after that, and you know, that's when I knew I was gonna play offensive line. But, you know, I knew at some point I was gonna play offensive line, so it wasn't a big shock to me. And they had mentioned that when they were recruiting me, but, you know, I switched over, you know, I got right to it. I had no complaints, and, you know, I was just trying to do whatever the team needed us. They thought that was the best for me, and I think it turned out pretty well, so can't complain.
And it really has. You know, talking about your experience and your versatility being one of the utmost, I would say, in the 2024 draft, being able to be left tackle, right tackle, you know, some of the scouts even asking, hey, can he play center? That may be the only thing we haven't seen him play. Can you speak to your versatility and how that makes you a great draft prospect for the NFL?
Absolutely. I think, like, the biggest thing is, you know, especially in the NFL, you know, you can only have, you know, a lot of teams only take 8 offensive linemen, or even less than that. And the more you could do, the better. You know, you can't just be in the NFL unless you're one of those top guys that, you know, play one position. I mean, you want to make the team, you got to be able to do more things. And like you said, you know, center is something that they haven't seen before, but it's something I've been practicing and something that, you know, I'll continue to practice just to be more versatile. But no, I think I definitely have a leg up just, you know, based on how many positions I play and, you know, teams look at that. And, you know, for some reason, if some dude gets injured and I have to switch positions, you know, I've played, had that experience. So definitely bodes in my favor for sure.
And you've had two seasons as a left guard, right, and left tackle. You've also lined up plenty as that. Where do you see yourself in the NFL or maybe with some specific teams you've even been talking to?
It's definitely somewhere in the interior, guard or center. A lot of the teams I've talked to have said guard, and they'd like me to take up center just in case as a backup, you know, to fill in. But from what I've heard from most of the teams, a lot of it's going to be all guard. You know, I don't quite have the measurables that, you know, NFL teams look for tackle, but, you know, worst case scenario, if I need to, I will.
And I heard you were just with the Giants and having some conversations there. How did that go?
It went great. New Jersey was a beautiful place. I love the facility. I love the coaches. It's pretty cool just to, you know, you see, you know, like Brian Daboll on TV and you watch him coach, and just to get to meet him in person, it was kind of a, you know, it's kind of a surreal experience. It's kind of cool getting to meet all these, you know, coaches that you watch on TV every Sunday.
And are there any other places that you've recently had visits with or had particularly good conversations, maybe with Pro Day or the Combine?
Yeah, so I had another 30 visit with the Eagles. I love that too. Philly was a beautiful place. And then I went to Chiefs local Pro Day and got to talk to their coaches. But then, yeah, for, you know, at the Combine, you know, I got hit up from a lot of teams, you know, like Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Carolina, the Browns, the Jaguars. So there's a whole slew of teams I talked to at the Combine. And, you know, I've been on Zooms, you know, the past month with, you know, almost every team. So it's definitely been a busy, you know, couple months for me.
Certainly been busy. A lot of teams do need help on the offensive line, which is great for you and, of course, great for anyone in that position. But, you know, I'm going to read something from a headline. The Athletic saying he can go in the second round, 49 to Bengals, Pro Football Network. He could go 55 in the second round to the Dolphins, CBS Sports second, 61 to the Lions. I mean, what's it like now that your dreams are kind of being realized and you're seeing this as the fruit of the labor?
No, it's definitely a surreal moment. I mean, like, you know, you dream of this, you know, this moment as a kid. And, you know, I think your entire life, you know, people try to tell you, oh, you know, only this certain percent ever make it. And just to see now that I'm, you know, a couple of days away from, you know, my name getting called, it's definitely an unreal moment. And, you know, people always ask, oh, like, where do you think you're going to go? And, you know, I tell them it really doesn't matter to me. I don't really care. I don't care what round. I just want an opportunity to go show what I can do. And, you know, I know there's going to be a team out there that wants me, that's going to pick me. And, you know, I'm going to go down there and do everything I can to make that team better. So definitely excited to, you know, see my dreams, you know, just a couple days away.
Yeah, very exciting. Now, we also want to talk about versatility and how it translates to a very high football IQ, and that's really helped you win pass protection. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, having those first 2 years at tackle, you definitely learn how to, you know, be successful in the pass game. You know, one of the biggest things for offensive linemen is being able to stay square. And I think that's something that I had to learn pretty quick. You know, at the tackle position, I'd never really played it. Especially that level. And, you know, once you start to get reps, you start to figure things out. And then, you know, once I moved inside, you know, those things kind of translated, you know, how to use your hands. And like I said, how you stay square, you know, your body control and those kind of things. I think that I learned at tackle, that's definitely, you know, helps me have the success over these last two years at guard.
And what about your ability to protect the quarterback and maybe any memories specifically from K-State?
I think for me, I don't know, it's almost like a mindset. Whenever I got a pass protect, you know, it's, you know, it may not always look pretty, but it's like, you know, my one job is, you know, to save the quarterback, and I'm gonna do everything in my power. But no, there's definitely been, you know, a couple times, I think some of the kind of memories, I think probably when I was playing tackle and, you know, you get beat around the edge and I'm screaming, run, throw it. So there's definitely kind of some memories like that. You know, everybody always gets beat at some point. And, you know, I remember screaming at Will, you got to throw it. So some of those things kind of are some fun memories that, you know, just kind of happen when you're playing the game of football.
Yeah, now I'm going to have that kind of frozen, the run, the yelling, just even seeing that on Zoom, certainly. But, you know, talking about your high athletic score and production score from the combine, you know, what was that experience like for you?
No, it was definitely, you know, kind of a once in a lifetime kind of dream. You know, I said in, you know, one of my interviews when I was down there, I didn't think people respected my athletic ability. And I think that has a lot to do with the position I play and how big of a dude I am. So, you know, I was really excited to show, you know, what I could do. And I definitely, you know, impressed a lot of teams. You know, when I was leaving Indy after, you know, there was a couple, you know, coaches and stuff that stopped me, like just, you know, in the airport. And they're like, dude, you never told us you were that athletic. And I was like, dude, I've been trying to tell people, you know, my entire career. So it was really nice to, you know, go show out and do really well and, you know, definitely get NFL teams more interested in me.
You're from Kansas. You went to K-State. I think that there's a certain genuineness about that. K-State has a long legacy of being a top football performance school. What would it mean to you to, you know, potentially join the Chiefs, to stay local, maybe easy access for friends and family to also go and visit?
No, it would definitely be awesome. You know, one of the reasons I chose K-State was to be close to home. And, you know, if I could get drafted by Kansas City, you know, be close to home again. And, you know, my family's my biggest support system. And, you know, I love when they're able to come to all the games. And, you know, it would definitely be, you know, kind of a unreal kind of dream come true for me, for sure.
So in terms of games or plays, were there any areas where you feel like, I really hope that they saw this highlight and that they were ready for this?
I think honestly the biggest one, and it's going to be shown for K-State history forever, was definitely the Houston game. When, you know, I pulled out to the edge and blew that kid up. You know, I still get people tweeting it at me all the time. I see it all the time on Twitter. And, you know, that's definitely, you know, I think that shows, you know, my athleticism being able to pull off the edge. It also, you know, shows my power and my ability to move. And I think that's something that, you know, they critiqued that wasn't very good before the combine. So, you know, being able to see clips like that, I think is what, you know, shows NFL teams that, you know, I can be agile, I move well, you know, I have a lot of power. And that's something, you know, I hope they see, and I know they'll see, because, you know, it gets posted all the time. And, you know, when we're, you know, with meeting with teams, you know, you always watch your own film and that comes up a lot. And so, yeah, I think it was definitely the Houston clip, I think, is the one that, you know, teams should see for sure.
You had 4 Wildcats also go to the combine, a couple more to pro day. And I'm sure that you have great memories with your teammates. Where do you hope that they would fit in, or how would some of those guys make it into the NFL?
No, yeah, it's definitely been exciting. You know, like K-State, it's a family, and, you know, I've been working out with those guys, you know, the past couple months, working out together. And, you know, I'm just excited. You know, everybody has their own different journey. And, you know, I know a lot of those dudes, you know, when they get picked up by a team, that team's going to be happy because, you know, they're K-Staters. They're going to come in. They're going to work hard. They're going to do the right thing. And, you know, I'm excited for them. You know, wherever they end up, you know, I'm definitely going to be supporting them just like they're going to support me. So it's definitely an exciting time.
Do you guys have watch day plans, or where are you going to be?
Yeah, so I'll be here in Kansas City. I'm at my parents' house, kind of having a, you know, little family watch party for the draft. You know, not something too big, just kind of, you know, all the people that, you know, have been with me my entire life that kind of helped me get to this point. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
And is there a certain element of nostalgia, maybe going back through some of those memories with teammates, Kansas State? You obviously opted to not do the draft last year, and you also opted to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl, saying this is the way we want to finish. We want to finish right. Is there a certain element of nostalgia of kind of leaving that onto the next steps?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of fun, you know, especially, you know, like I said, you know, all the dudes that are, you know, hoping for the NFL have been working out together. And a lot of times, you know, in between workouts and stuff, we'll just sit there and reminisce on, you know, all the small memories that, you know, have had a huge impact on all of our lives. And like you said, you know, we wanted to go out the right way, especially, you know, after that Iowa State game. It was a tough loss. And, you know, we kind of looked at each other and was like, we can't end like that. You know, we wanted to continue to push, you know, K-State forward. And we thought it was only right that, you know, we all played in that game and, you know, did everything we could for K-State to help them win. And we were able to get the win, and it just helps propel the team forward, even though, you know, we're not going to be on it. But, you know, I think that just speaks to, you know, the kind of people we are here at K-State. And yeah, so it was just, you know, we wanted to continue to push the program forward.
And the first edible mascot, that had to be cool.
No, it was. It was probably disgusting that I was eating it with my, you know, sweat-filled gloves. But, you know, in the moment, I was like, you know what? I didn't care. We just won. Like, it was actually surprisingly tasty. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was kind of like a cake-ish feel to it. It was very good. It was definitely an odd one, like kind of an odd experience to see him, you know, go through the toaster and that kind of thing. But no, it was definitely very good. It was definitely something, you know, I'll remember forever for sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. One of the unforgettable memories. And of course, all the memes just coming out day after day. Those were pretty classic. Well, we do want to say just, you know, the best of luck and, you know, thank you for your time. And maybe before you go, do you have any feeling one way or the other from any of the teams or the conversations you've had? I know that it's kind of like waking up Christmas morning because you don't know who's going to trade up, trade back, and that type of thing.
I don't know. It's hard to gauge just kind of because, I mean, I've been getting, you know, interest from everybody, and my agent's been getting hit up a lot. Honestly, if I would have to, you know, get just from a feel from who I've talked to the most, it'll probably be the Seahawks is the team I've talked to the most. But like I said, you know, you never know, you know, until you get that phone call, who's your team going to be. But no, I think the Seahawks is the team I've talked to the most, for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Cooper. Best of luck. Up next, we're going to hear more stories about Cooper from Kansas State offensive line coach Connor Riley. We're back in just a couple of minutes. Stay here. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to our preview of the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm Belinda Post here on Sports Radio 810. While at Kansas State as the head football coach, Chris Klieman has seen two bowl game victories, a Big 12 championship, and seen players drafted in the first round. Chris, thank you for joining us today. This is a little bit like Christmas morning for a handful of Wildcats. How exciting is this for you?
Yeah, it really is. Those kids, they're kids, they're young men, and they're men now. But when I brought them in here as freshmen, to see the transformation, to see the growth, to see the maturity, I'm excited for those guys. And it's a pinch me moment for them, too. The fact that they came to college to get a degree and play football, and who knows what would happen. And you're right, there's going to be a handful that are going to be drafted for sure, a couple that may be free agents, but guys are going to make a living in this league.
Talking about the developmental part, oftentimes you or other coaches will use this as, we are a developing program and you're trying to get the best out of these people. Talking about Ben Sennett, who could go in the third or fourth round as a tight end, who came here as a walk-on, even picking up football a little bit later on. Can you speak to the process and his abilities?
Yeah, Ben was like 207 pounds when he came in here as a true freshman and needed to make some adjustments if he wanted to play at K-State, let alone at the next level. And he bought in and did a phenomenal job in the weight room. Kept getting better and better on the field, played a little bit as a redshirt freshman, really kind of had a coming out party as a redshirt sophomore, and then it just exploded for him. But that was confidence, and he's a big physical athlete that can really run, really catch the ball. He's a mismatch as a tight end in space, and he's physical at the line of scrimmage. And it's just fun to see Ben, because I've known him for so long, you know, just the process of his body changing and him gaining that confidence that he knew he could be really successful. And he's probably going to be a second or third round guy.
And he also has a strong ability to move the chains and move the yards after making a catch. I mean, he ran a litany of different routes. How do some of those skills really translate well to the NFL?
The fact that people are going to use him all over the place. They're going to use him as an inline tight end. They're going to use him in the backfield, kind of like a fullback like we did, as well as they're going to flex him out almost like a wide receiver and create some matchup problems. because he's got such a big body, and he has really good hands, but he makes a lot of what we would call contested catches, where it's he and a defender mano a mano, and he finds a way to come down with it. So that's why I think he's going to have a long career.
Yeah, and tremendous growth there. Also tremendous growth with the O-line. Cooper Beebe going from a three-star recruit at Kansas State to, you know, pretty much being a second-round lock. A lot of people have him, you know, they want him. What can you talk about his development?
Yeah, well, Beebs came in originally as a defensive lineman, and we moved him to offensive line before he even started. And he's played all the positions. And that's probably where I think Beebs has got the most upside, in the fact that he's played four of the five different offensive line positions, which the NFL is always looking for versatility. They're always looking for guys that can be inside guys or be outside guys. He's a durable guy. He can run block. He can pass pro. And just to see how he's grown and gotten better and better year after year, I'm excited. There's another guy that's going to probably get drafted in the second round.
Taking a look at KT Leviston, also O-line. K-State's yep. doing something right there. We'll just put that out there. But, you know, he could be used as a power guard. Can you think of any NFL teams who could be looking for a rookie like that?
Yeah, KT does it all. Played guard, played tackle for us. You know, Beebs was a tackle, and then we moved him to guard because KT played so well. And those two were side by side together, which is a big couple big bodies next to each other. But KT's got really good athleticism. He's really physical, got a good punch. A team's going to take him that's going to look for somebody that's got versatility that can play either guard or tackle. I think he's going to have a long career because he's another guy that's been really durable. Guy's 330 pounds, but runs like he's 285 pounds. And I'm excited to see where KT lands.
Yeah, he's pretty hard to get around.
Yes, he is. Very much so.
Yeah, now let's take a look. Khalid Duke. So he has initial explosiveness that really lets him do well in the pass rush, get to a quarterback fast. Where do you think that that's going to translate really well for the next step?
Yeah, Khalid's a great pass rusher. That's the first thing. Duke is phenomenal off the edge. I think another guy that the versatility that we use him at will help him. Started out as a defensive end. We moved him to linebacker in 2022, the year we won the Big 12. So we got that experience as a linebacker. Then we moved him back to defensive end for his senior year. And so the fact that he can be a stand-up end, a rush end, somebody that can drop in coverage, being able to do those things and having film of both things is something everybody's looking for. And so he's a guy that he's going to make a team. I don't know where it's going to be, but I think people are looking at him as an outside linebacker / defensive end.
I was looking at some of his numbers from the combine, and I mean, that 40-yard dash is really impressive.
Yeah, he's explosive, and he can really run. And I'm excited because I think – his best football, he's played a lot of football for us, but his best football is in front of him because people are going to utilize the skill set that he really has, which I think is an elite pass rusher.
And taking a look also, a couple other guys, maybe not in all the articles, but certainly could find spots, free agents, or even get drafted with Christian Duffy and Hayden Gillum. I'm also told they go by Duffy and Gilly, if you will.
Yeah.
Where do you think that they would fit in well in the NFL?
Well, the fact that you played offensive line at K-State gives you a leg up, and then you played under Connor Riley is another big, big thing, because I think, you know, a lot of people know how talented Riles is as an O-line coach, and to have four guys potentially land somewhere, you know, Duff has played a lot of football for us as a right tackle, very long, very athletic. Gilly's a center, which he runs really well. Makes all the calls, great communicator. Those two are going to get into a camp, get an opportunity, and I wouldn't bet against either one of them just because of how athletic they are and how smart of players they are.
And, you know, taking a look at the end of the season, the Pop-Tart Bowl, probably the most publicized out there. I mean, it's the first time you have an edible mascot, but, you know, besides that, what other memorable moments are you taking with you, maybe as these guys do leave and, unfortunately, you got to replace them?
Yeah, just the time we spent, you know, these guys were all here. when I first came in 5 years ago, and to have 5 years with guys, and that just doesn't happen that often anymore. People leave, they go to the transfer portal, do other things. These five guys, they loved K-State, and they loved their time with each other. They loved the fact that we won an awful lot of football games. We won a Big 12 championship. That's probably the one that you remember forever with that group, is out on AT&T Stadium, and Ty Zentner bangs the kick in, and euphoria, and the confetti goes. And it's a moment that all of us will treasure, and those guys were a huge part of that.
And that has to mean a lot, too, when they're sticking around. They're also playing in the bowl games, and maybe even, like with Cooper Beebe, he could be getting ready for a second NFL season.
Yeah, yeah, and it's neat for us in general. A lot of our former players, we had a number of Deuce, Felix, Echo, we're all back for our spring game. It's just fun to have Skylar Thompson was back for our spring game, to have all the former players come back and want to come back, to see each other, to see the former players, but to also talk to some of our younger players about, you know, we weren't ready made, you know, we developed here. And I think they're great ambassadors for us to say, look what these guys did. Because a number of them were 2-star, 3-star, developed and worked their way into where they're at now. And that's they're great ambassadors for us.
Thank you, Chris, for sharing those moments. Head football coach for Kansas State University, Chris Kleiman. Up next, we talk with the offensive coordinator from K-State, Connor Riley, on the development of Wildcat draft hopefuls, taking the next step. Belinda Post here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back to our 2024 NFL Draft Preview. Now, we're really excited about this next interview. One of the top offensive line coaches in the country, Connor Riley, is in his sixth season at Kansas State, tutoring the Wildcats offensive front and first serving as the program's offensive coordinator, working with offensive lineman Cooper Beebe and KT Leviston, who are both predicted to be drafted. Connor, you saw Cooper Beebe go from a 3-star recruit to an AP consensus All-American. Walk us through his growth.
Yeah, his growth has been significant. And interestingly enough, I think that 3-star he got was pretty late. Initially, he was actually a 2-star defensive lineman. And he was recruited by the previous staff. And I think on the first day he showed up, that number, that jersey number that he was anticipating was maybe a little bit different. And it was followed up with a text by me saying, boy, I think you got a great opportunity to play offensive line. And from that moment, he absolutely bought into, hey, whatever the team needs. And that has been a consistent factor with Coop. You know, his career, his first start didn't, you know, wasn't just, hey, this is a glimpse into greatness of the future. He played against Arkansas State in that first game, and he talked to our guys the other day and was like, man, I really struggled in that game. And he did. He really struggled. But you could see that improvement from that first game to the next week when we played in Oklahoma, and going back to 2020. His growth has been just every single week, every single year, just better and better. He's a guy who started at 4 different positions along the offensive line within the Big 12. And I don't think there's too many people who have done that. So whether he was playing tackle, whether he was playing guard on the right side, on the left side, seeing his growth and seeing the player that he is now has been nothing short of flattering to be a part of that journey.
Sure. And one thing that you're mentioning, even going from defense to O-line and taking advantage of the opportunities, you know, the great ones really are able to do that and to fill in the spots and be the Swiss Army knife, so to speak. So how will that versatility help as you make that jump and that leap into the NFL?
Yeah, it's really significant. In fact, in visiting with a number of different NFL scouts and visiting with a number of different NFL coaches, position coaches, you know, they typically will dress 8, sometimes even 7 offensive linemen just because of limitations within their roster. And for him to have the versatility to play multiple positions and the amount of scouts and coaches who have texted me, who have asked me, can he play center? Has he played center? Because that's the only position he hasn't started on the offensive line. And easily for me, I can say, yes, he can. And they keep asking for film and And I said, you're going to have to go back in the archives to dig all of that up. But that versatility and how smart of a football player he is, allowing him to play multiple positions, is no doubt going to allow him to be successful in the NFL. And it's going to allow him to be successful for a very long time.
Though you may be in a different part of the season, a different part of the year right now, you still probably talk with him pretty regularly. Do you know any teams that he has been speaking with or anything that might be a little bit more serious?
You never can really tell, because having gone through this process before, there's teams that will bring him out on visits. They'll bring him here. They'll be the ones who call him the most. And then the one who pulls the trigger on draft day, they're like, man, they've called me once. I can report. Hopefully he was just up in my office the other day. He just returned from the New York Giants, and I'm a New York Giants fan. Nothing against the Kansas City Chiefs fans, but and my dad is a huge New York Giants fan. So from my own selfish standpoint, and proud to tell my dad that the New York Football Giants were pretty interested. I think that's the most recent visit he's been on.
Okay, well, that's very exciting. What can you say about his ability to protect the quarterback?
It really kind of speaks for itself, you know, and you can look at the statistics a lot of people talk about. And, you know, I joked with him the other day, you know, there's that Pro Football Focus as far as what his pass grade is and everything else. And I was talking to an NFL offensive line coach who said, what you guys do in protection at the college level there at Kansas State really translates into what we're doing in the NFL. Whether it be in true dropback protection, true five-man protection, everything else. You know, I think he'd given up one sack in the last 2 years out of all of these pass protection. And it wasn't like we were doing a ton of movement pass. And the one sack that he gave up because of an injury, you mentioned Swiss Army knife, he had to move from left guard to right tackle. And quite honestly, he's probably a little more pissed at me because I didn't give him enough reps at right tackle throughout the week of practice. So it's probably, in all honesty, it's more on me. But the best thing with him in pass protection that I've always talked to him about, and even talked to our other guys about, is not how good he uses his hands, not the proper technique, but his ability to recover in pass protection. So he's gone up against some of the best of the best. And consistently, you're not going to find yourself with perfect hand placement, perfect relative pass position on the defender. And just his ability to recover and understand things has really, really, really helped him in pass pro.
KT Leviston, offensive tackle, did a great job for the Kansas State Wildcats. What's kind of the next move, or what's he been up to?
Yeah, he too is training, and he competed in the NFL Combine. And once again, there's been a number of different coaches and scouts who have reached out about Katori, and some of them feel like, and that's the interesting thing with the NFL, some feel like maybe KT is a better fit for their particular needs or their particular team than maybe what Cooper Beebe is. One thing that KT did is first of all, his growth pattern over the course of our time together at Kansas State has been nothing short of just amazing. From the type of young man he is to the type of football player he is, that growth is just fantastic. And where he really began helping himself is he knew when he competed in the East-West Shrine Game that they were going to move him from tackle to guard. And he played guard here a few years back, and probably a little bit more of his natural position, but how well he did in that particular game, how well he did at the combine, that interest level has really ticked, because a big question mark was, okay, we see him out on the perimeter at tackle moving this guy. And it's, they say, Rouse, it's a sight to see how physical he is at the point of attack, you know. But now when you get inside and you're playing against defensive tackles, now you're playing against other 300 pounders, you know, how is that going to translate? And what he did not only in that game, but what he did in that week of practice, I know has really begun setting him apart from some of the counterparts. So I just couldn't be more pleased with how hard he's worked, how he's transitioned his body, how he's adjusted, the versatility that he brings to a team. I think that is that only increases his stock as well.
And then what about his ability to open up the field for somebody to get to the secondary?
you talk about his displacement. One of the things that people talked about is, okay, defenders are going to hold the gap and they're going to have, we talk all the time, you know, there's so many gaps out there that we've created by adding a tight end, by being in 12 personnel. They're going to have people down in the fit. So how do we ultimately get a guy to that third level? How do we get somebody, you know, he has the ability to displace defenders and remove defenders out of a gap. And that's one of the things that people were telling me very early on that they were so impressed about with his athleticism, his bend, his physicality at the point of attack. And now for him putting on film in that All-Star game and really answering the bell to do it against guys who are now right on top of you, they're 300 pounders. You don't have as much time. You know, you got to be better usage in your hands and pass pro. And he answered the bell. He really did a great job down there at the East-West Shrine game. And I think it answered a lot of questions for people saying, how do you transition from the tackle position into the guard position?
And what's it like working hand in hand with these players? You know, you've been at Kansas State, been a part of this legacy. Mm-hmm. What has that been like, seeing them get to this point where now their names are being brought up for the NFL draft?
That's really cool. And it's really cool for them. And it's neat for me to see all of their hard work really pay off. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that they are having this opportunity. And that's what I'm hoping and praying for here in the next few weeks, that they all get the chance. The coolest thing about all of these guys is the relationship that I have with them. It really is. The fact that I sent them a picture of my daughter doing a ballet class the other day. And I said, I can't believe, you know, how old she's getting. And, you know, one of the guys sent me a text of my car out in the parking lot here just this morning saying, hey, Riles, we need to get that thing towed out of your parking spot. And they know damn well that it's my car. And the coolest part about it is these relationships and now friendships that are going to be forged that are going to expand way beyond their NFL career. And these are relationships that are going to be a lifetime. I know that for sure. And that's
one we didn't talk about as much, but certainly is expected to be drafted, you know, Benson. What can you say about his ability to make steps to the NFL?
He is an all-purpose tight end, in my estimation. And here's a guy who started out as a walk-on here at Kansas State. He went to the same high school as our head football coach, actually the same high school as my mother, and in Waterloo, Iowa. And just seeing his growth from his athleticism, his pass-catching ability, but then his ability to be physical at the point of attack. And the versatility that he brings to a particular offense, I think Kansas State fans have been able to see the benefits of having someone who is that dynamic in so many different ways. I think his skill set is going to translate tremendously to the next level. And you look at what kind of football IQ that he had to have in order to play and in order for him to do the things that we constantly ask him to do on a day-to-day basis. Here's a guy as a tight end who, you know, is taking 80 snaps a game. And on one play, we're asking him to run a corner route or a go route. And then on the next play, we're asking him to, you know, dig out a backside defensive end on inside zone. And there's not a lot of tight ends out there, at least that I watch, and I watch a whole hell of a lot of football, that can do the things that he does at such a dominant level, and he can do them all exceptionally well. And that's where I think Sinnoh is, that's where I really believe he's going to have the opportunity to have a long, successful career in the NFL. And all of the interest that has kind of maybe been sparked here in more recent days because of the athlete that he is or because of his verse, this is something we've known at our place for quite some time. And it's awesome to see him getting that recognition now. And I'm excited to see where he goes here in the future.
You're there recruiting. You notice something really special about these people. They have excellent work ethic and versatility. You know, talk about how maybe some of that training at Kansas State is helping to prepare for Wildcats last year and like several Wildcats this year that could be drafted.
Because the way that we do run our program translates very much into a professional world. The emphasis that we put on recovery, the emphasis that we put on taking care of their bodies, I had one of them talk to me about going through a drill at the Big 12 Pro Day. And the coach said, hey, whatever you do in this particular drill, just finish, just finish, just finish. And one of our players couldn't believe the guys wouldn't finish through the line. They wouldn't finish the particular drill. And this is one of the biggest interviews that they've had in their life up to this point. I talked to one of our guys who was at the NFL Combine, and a young man who is highly ranked in this board or on that board, he couldn't show up on time for the bus. And there's just little things that we instill in the players within our program that are going to translate for them in life, not only relative to the NFL Combine or the NFL Draft or a 5-year, 10-year NFL career, but how is it going to translate for you in life? And sometimes it's those little things that our guys walking around the halls, it's all they see, it's all we emphasize. They take it for granted, but it was really cool for them to come back and be so grateful for Coach True. You know, Coach True trains us right. So grateful for the people, so grateful for, you know, the people not often talked about, you know, Mindy Hoffman, our athletic trainer, Scott Trausch in nutrition, all these little things of what they do on a day-to-day basis of getting them ready, getting them ready to play at a high level. And to me, their maturity and how they go about their business is something that, interestingly enough, a lot of coaches and a lot of scouts really do see. And it's providing more and more opportunities who are coming through Kansas State because of that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Do you guys have traditions in terms of watching the draft, or do you know what any of the draft maybe watching plans are?
You know, usually we're in spring recruiting.
Yeah, you're busy.
During that time. In fact, I think last year, I think I was falling asleep right when Felix was drafted, you know, because it's towards the latter part of the first round. So no real traditions. I know that Cooper's going to be with his family and friends. I know Katori's going to be with his family and friends. I know Ben is going to be with his family and friends, and a few of our other guys, you know, Christian Duffy and Hayden Gillum, I think they're going to be back home with their family and loved ones as well.
Thank you, Connor. It sounds like he's really going to miss those guys. Next up, we talked to Mizzou offensive tackle Javon Foster on his journey from a 3-star recruit to being an anchor on the Tigers' O-line. Welcome back to our 2024 preview of the NFL Draft here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Belinda Post. Now, we already caught up with Mizzou cornerback Ennis Rakestraw Jr., but now it's time to turn another MIZ welcome, this time to offensive tackle Javon Foster. So, Javon, I'm going to be the first to say it, MIZ.
Z-O-U.
Z-O-U, yeah. So many Mizzou fans here in the Kansas City area. What was it like being a part of the first Missouri class to win the New Year's Six Bowl?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. You know, just I've been in Mizzou for so long and I've seen all the ups and downs. So I'm so glad to be able to, you know, just give the fans, honestly, a kind of season that they wanted and, you know, a season that we knew we could have. And yeah, it was just a fun ride at Mizzou.
And also beating Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, these are some heavy hitters. That had to be cool.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah, my dad, he played at Ohio State. So, yeah, it was a pretty good, you know, pretty good bragging right I can have with him now.
Yeah, father-son rivalry. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, other notable games. I mean, Kansas State, that had to be a pretty good memory for you.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, that was my first time ever having, like, the fans, like, rush the field. So, yeah, I'm glad I got a chance to, you know, experience that in my college career.
Were there any other gameplay memories that will really stand out for you from your time in school?
For me, a couple years back, we had like an overtime win versus Florida. That was really a really cool experience for me. But I pretty much have memories, you know, the best memories are probably this year, you know, just being able to be on a good team and, you know, win. It's always fun to, you know, have a great team and win together.
And, you know, there were some articles talking about it being a hardworking brotherhood. You know, how would you describe that, being a player on the team, offensive tackle, and finding the chemistry there?
Yeah, this year, you know, as captains, you know, it was kind of a special group of captains because, like I said, all of us were pretty much like hard working guys and just put their hand out and grind. So, yeah, this year we got a chance, you know, I felt like we did a better vocal role, you know, just explaining to the team what we wanted and, you know, what the team needed. And the guys did a good job of delivering the message, you know, and, you know, honestly just going through with the plan. Like, you know, the coaches, they helped us out a lot. But I feel like, you know, this year us players and the leaders of the team did a very great job of, you know, just getting the group on the same path.
Leadership is something that's so important. And speaking from that co-captain role, you certainly did your part, but also what are your other strengths as a player?
Yeah, for me, like I said, you kind of said it earlier, like I'm just a hard worker. I was a late bloomer to the game of football, so I feel like I'm always playing catch up. So that's why I'm always after practice doing extra things, you know, just trying to get in extra film, just trying to honestly get myself more ahead and also, you know, just get a jump on my opponent so I can, you know, have an easier game and, you know, make it easy for me to notice different things about them.
And what would you say about your strengths in terms of football IQ and then also, you know, trying to make way for the run game?
Yeah. For me, you know, it comes from watching a lot of film, you know, different things, you catching up, picking up on different blitzes and, you know, just being able to block the play, you know, exactly how it's supposed to, even when it's not drawn up how it was supposed to. So, you know, just different things like that. And also just being a physical and dominant player was always something that I took pride in, you know, just trying to always finish and, you know, just create the best lanes and, you know, hold up my defender as long as I can for my quarterback and my running back.
Your father going to Ohio State, you, Mizzou. Has this been a long time coming, a dream that you've always had to potentially play in the NFL?
Yeah. It's always, you know, it's a blessing just to be in this position. You know, my dad, he got a chance to play at the next level too. So, you know, just always kind of wanted to follow his footsteps, but, you know, not actually knowing that it was going to be true one day, and then you look up and it's actually true, you know, just me putting in all that hard work, and that's a blessing.
Yeah, seeing some headlines, also having conversations with teams from pro day to combine, do you have any idea of where you could end up?
I still don't know. Yeah, it's still kind of you know, just a draft day kind of decision. But, you know, I've had, you know, a lot of conversations with different teams and built a lot of different relationships in this process. So, you know, it's been a great, you know, a great time going through all this process, and, you know, just meeting the different coaches and talking to different, you know, teams. It's just been a blessing.
Certainly is. And is there anyone who you pattern your play after?
Yeah, for me, I watch a lot of Tyron Smith. You know, he's kind of like one of the goats of the offensive tackle and offensive line. So, you know, just him being kind of, you know, not kind of, him being athletic and like me also being athletic too. And then him being so consistent with his technique is something that I'm trying to get to and accomplish in my game. So, you know, I'm always watching a lot of him. You know, he's a great player. You know, he's honestly somebody that I try to model my game after.
Also, speaking to your teammates, you know, how many Mizzou Tigers are we going to see get drafted?
Yeah, it's going to be a few. You know, we had such a great group of guys, and I feel like Missouri always had the talent, but we can never always put it together. So I felt like, you know, it's going to be a fun day, a fun 3 days, you know, for us Mizzou Tigers. And, you know, even the guys that doesn't get the opportunity to get drafted, I feel like they're going to get the opportunity and they're going to show the world who they are and what type of player they are.
Can you speak to any of your training there? That New Year's game was something else. I mean, coming from that far behind, a lot of people who were putting in bets in Vegas might have lost that day.
Yeah. I'm already, a lot of people probably didn't think that we were going to make it to New Year's 6 anyway. So, you know, it was kind of like Mizzou was honestly kind of just ready to be the underdog at any time. You know, like I said, we always knew we had it, but we could never put it together. But no one else honestly knew that. So, you know, we just always had a lot of trust in ourselves, you know, trust that we can do what we can do.
Did you ever have any traditions watching the draft, or are you guys going to, you know, start a tradition this year?
No, not really. I'm just always just sitting there at the TV just watching, you know, so I'm probably just continue doing that, you know, just see, you know, how the draft goes and just watch it through my TV.
Okay, great. Well, that is the best way to do it with friends and family and, you know, being at home, at least around your loved ones. That's certainly great. But, you know, thank you for your time and great luck.
Thank you. I appreciate you having this interview with me. It was fun.
And best of luck to you, Javon. Of course, we will all be watching. We want to thank everyone for listening. And, of course, enjoy the NFL draft weekend. It is a very special time. Also, we want to thank Javon Foster, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., Cooper Beebe, offensive line coach over at Kansas State, Connor Riley, and head coach of the Kansas State football program, Chris Kleiman, for taking time to talk with us. For Sports Radio 810 WHB, I'm Belinda Post.